The views expressed on community issues and missions are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of the board or the staff of Cumberland Valley Christian Radio.
Welcome to Community Issues and Missions. Cumberland Valley Christian Radio is proud to provide a servant's heart time where we recognize local people who are addressing issues that impact our central Pennsylvania community. People tackle the problems and do their best to take corrective actions to make our lives better.
Well, welcome back to this week's edition of Community Issues and Missions. It's great to be back with you again. And we are already, believe it or not, down to the entire ending of the second cycle of the FFA. That was a really mouthful the way I said that, I think, wasn't it? But it time moves very quickly, and before you realize it, you're already at the end of it, you know, the season, and you're like, man, there's a lot of stuff that happened, a lot of stuff that was, you know, really exciting to hear about and learn about and meeting new people this whole time. And part of the fun thing is that my two FFA officers I have today, I've got one of the originals who was here like the first two times and then didn't see you again at all for the rest of the year. I've got Morgan Bear, who's the secretary for this year. So how's it been with everything going on over the past year of the FFA?
I would say that this year has definitely been a full circle between starting out not really knowing any of the members and not knowing all my teammates, and now we're to the point where we're actually going back into the chapters after our chapter visits, and we're starting to go to chapter banquets, which are parent member banquets, so a lot of families, a lot of community members, school administrators, and we're starting to wrap that process up. So we're getting to see the students coming in that may have not had very many leadership skills to now they're completing their school year, they're ready for summer, and they're actually geared up for state convention, and we're really excited to see how well they do, and we get to send all the top qualifiers to the National FFA Convention, which is held in Indianapolis, Indiana, and then we also get to send all of our second place teams and individuals to the Big Eastern Exposition in Massachusetts. So we're really excited to see how they do at state convention, and all the hard work that they've put into this year is really starting to pay off.
That's what I was always interested about, the chapter banquets as opposed to the chapter visits, because of some of the conversations that I've had over time about how, you know, you start out with just going around getting to meet the different chapters and, you know, and get to know the people a little bit, see what motivates them, you know, maybe push them a little bit into some directions they wouldn't have considered. And then how it comes back around full circle at the end, you know, with the banquets and getting to see kind of, now that some time has passed, you know, where have things gone? And so my second officer is one that has been here off and on throughout the rest of the year. I think, Abby, the first time you were here was during the Christmas season, if I remember correctly.
Yes, it was. I gave you all the Christmas tree facts that session.
Yeah, mid-year, and getting to understand the fact that despite what people might think, that the Christmas tree industry is very much an agricultural industry. And understanding that there is quite a bit that goes into that.
For sure.
And so Abby, of course, is the state treasurer for the FFA, or I should say has been this year, because I keep, it's like, because soon it's going to be the trade-off. And I knew we were going to be talking about the fact that one of the biggest events of the entire year, the convention, is right here.
Oh, for sure. It's just crazy how fast this year has gone. I mean, looking back in December, my first time here, I was like, well, this is our halfway point. You know, we still got a lot to do. But here we are again. It's May, and actually we have 23 days until we retire, and a new 7 officers will come into our position. So it's been awesome to be here and talk about our experiences throughout the year. And like you said, Jeremy, we're actually gearing up for our biggest event of the year, which is state convention. And here we get to recognize all of our members. We'll have about 1,500 people there at the Bryce Jordan Center from June 11th to the 13th at Penn State. And we're just really excited for that. We get to highlight their year of accomplishments. And we have a lot of businesses and industries and individuals that are coming to be recognized that were nominated by the state association and by local chapters. So they'll be receiving awards as well. And I'm sure, I know Morgan has some things to add about the specifics of what the members are actually coming to state convention to do. So,
Yeah, so we have a lot of different members competing in a lot of different things. But in order to come to State Convention, they actually have to sign up for a career or leadership development event, which is basically a contest, and it can range from anything from agronomy to food science to livestock judging to aquatics. It can be anything involved in agriculture, and we have a wide variety of events. And some of those events, students actually have to qualify all the way from their chapter level to the state level, and there can be like four or five different levels that have to qualify, that they have to work through to get there. And then some students, there's only a state competition, so they just get to sign up and come. And the students get to really have hands-on experiences with what they've learned in the classroom and apply it to this career and leadership development event. And the main difference between the career and the leadership development events are that the career development events specifically get them prepared for a career in agriculture, and then the leadership of ones are more of the public speaking, such as like the creed speaking or senior prepared or extemporaneous speaking, or anything like parliamentary procedure. So they're more of the leadership development events that are going to develop their skills.
So for the people that are actually then present at the state convention, like based on what you've been saying, so this is a process that starts much, much early. So what is the starting point and kind of the process that leads up to that for some of these?
A lot of chapters actually pick teams at the beginning of the school year, and they spend their time, whether that's after school or in school during a free period, prepping for their specific competition. So for instance, if they were doing poultry judging, that's a team of four. So four students get together and they decide they want to do poultry judging, and they spend from the beginning of the school year to June 11th to prepare, and they can bring in extra people within the industry to help them prep. They can do a lot of knowledge parts, whether that's online testing or stuff that their teacher is helping them with, and they just prep and prep and prep for the knowledge part and then actual industry, because they actually have real chickens and poultry products there, whether that's egg and meat evaluation. So they have a lot going on and a lot to prep for, but it truly pays off because the students that put the time and effort into it can actually win a trip to nationals and the Big E in Massachusetts, to actually their hard work pays off throughout the year because they are getting to get that trip that they've been working so hard for.
So when it comes around to state convention, on average, how many are actually present for it?
About 1,500 students. So although we do have 13,000 FFA members, we really hope that that number goes up in the future because a lot of students are missing out on those opportunities, and we know that they would greatly enjoy them.
Yeah, because I was going to say, remembering, and I've brought this up a couple times in the past, having been at the state convention from last year and getting the opportunity to observe the proceedings, and also to what I always say about the fact of this sea of blue, that I wasn't, you have the head knowledge of, just how big of an organization this is and how widespread it is, but until you see that many people, you don't realize sometimes wow, this is a big deal. And even that being said, one of the things that I remembered was even having about that 1,500 number, that there's a lot of room still in that stadium for more people.
There is. And we really hope to expand that eventually as new chapters open and more students become aware of the opportunities, whether that's scholarship money, whether that's future job opportunities. There's so much to gain in agriculture and skills that the students learn, whether that's discipline. A lot of these students, some students actually wake up before school and they have practices even up to an hour before school even starts, just prepping for these competitions. So they put the hard work into it, and I think they really get a lot out of it.
That's awesome. Yeah, to have that level of motivation before you've even hit the workforce, so to speak. It's a good foundation to have, because it really does prepare you well for later on in life.
Yeah.
And now, also, too, something that we'd been talking about before we sat down and started recording was something that I would have thought would have been obvious, but amazingly, we never talked about before, is that since we're coming up to the point with the state convention where the next set of officers are going to be chosen, we never really talked about some of the actual process that goes on for, that preparation process. I remember asking you guys, what your thoughts were leading up to just before it was announced, who was the actual winners, but I didn't talk about what it had been like before that. So let's talk about that a little bit.
Okay, well, first, we actually, we get elected by our peers, and that is called the Nominating Committee. And if you wish to be on the Nominating Committee, you have to be a member in high school, and you send in an application talking about why you'd like to be on the Nominating Committee, your interest. And actually, there are 8 members that make up this committee from throughout the state. There are 2 from each region, so we have the Northern Region, the Eastern Region, the Western Region, and the South Central. So we'll take we'll pick 2 from each region, and that makes a committee of 8 members. We also have business and industry reps who sit on that panel, but they have no say in who gets elected. So actually, our teammates, Morgan and I, and our 5 other teammates, we got elected by our peers rather than adults or individuals that were in that room. And Morgan has a lot about the process that goes into it. So it's a long 2 days of interviewing and hard work and a lot of stress to be in this position and to make it here, but it's well worth it. So if Morgan, you want to share a little bit about the interview process?
Yeah, I'll start off. So in order to apply to be a state FFA officer, first of all, you have to graduate from high school. So all of us have graduated, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to just be fresh out of graduating that June. Some students and some candidates actually go to college for a year and then they might come back and decide to run, or they might run the first time right out of high school, and then if they don't get it, they are more than welcome to come back and run again. And we've had a lot of state officers that actually have done that, may have not got elected the first time, maybe they didn't quite fit in the team, and then have actually came back and run again and they actually get in office. So it's well worth it for them.
Right. You even said that Sam, who we've talked to many times here, was just one of those people, which I hadn't even known.
Yeah.
You know, up until today. So yeah, that's cool.
And then following that, they also have to have their Keystone State degree, which is actually awarded at the Farm Show in January, and it's at our Midwinter Convention. And this year we had over 400 students that actually got their Keystone State degree. It is now open for all junior and senior members to apply, but since you have to graduate high school, you have to be a senior. So you have to graduate high school and have your Keystone State degree, and that's based on your supervised agriculture experience. There's so many hours and so much time, community service, classroom time. There's a variety of things that all play into that in order for students to get that degree. And I don't know if you've seen our charms that hang on our skirts or our pants.
Oh.
That's what that symbolizes. So
okay.
The Keystone State degree is actually worn on every FFA member's jacket, and that symbolizes that they have that degree.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I'd noticed that, you know, coming in here that you have that, and I was just like, oh, you know, you get curious about it, but you never like think to ask on that.
Yeah, that charm hanging from your jacket.
Right. Okay. So, all right. That's cool.
Yeah. And not every FFA member has them, obviously. Only we had about 400 get it this year. So it's a prestigious award to receive as well.
Okay.
And it's the highest degree you can actually earn in the state of Pennsylvania.
Oh, nice. So it's like the elite level.
Yeah. So there's actually a few degrees that come before that. And then there's the coveted key of the American degree that comes after that, which less than 1% of all FFA members in the nation actually receive that degree. Hmm. And that's given out at the National FFA Convention.
Interesting. So why is that one so hard to get?
The investment of time and money that actually goes into receiving that degree is very tedious and very strenuous. Hmm. So it's a huge accomplishment for all members that receive it.
Okay, interesting.
And a lot of members, once they graduate, they kind of move on to other things, whether that's college or their career. But it's those students that actually put the time and effort into their supervised agriculture experiences and work to continue that and build that. Because to get your American degree, a lot of times you can't get it within your time in high school, which is why you actually have to wait until a whole year after you graduate to receive your American degree. Because there's so much things that go into getting it. Yeah,
and I could imagine for most people at that point that wouldn't be most likely as high of a priority as, you know, continuing education,
exactly.
You know, or getting into the workforce or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
So
those are just starters on what it takes to be a state officer. Following that, there's a lot of prep that goes into it before you get there, and it's kind of what you make it. You can run for state office and not really do much prep and just kind of go in and see what happens, or you can prep a lot. There's a lot of knowledge testing that you can prep for. There's a lot of professional development that you can do and leadership development, and just kind of figuring out who you are. They always say, if you're running for state office, the best advice they give is to just be yourself. Because if you try to be like someone else, the nominating committee is going to figure that out pretty quickly. And they don't want 7 of the same people to serve on the state officer team. They want 7 different individuals to lead the state. So that's like the first thing when learning how to prep that you really concentrate on. And once you, the main interview process happens at the state convention. So all students will come in on June 11th, and they start by having a written exam. And when they have that written exam, it's about 60 questions, multiple choice. Some are fill in the blank, some are open-ended, and they actually get to answer just basic FFA knowledge, from history to current officers, national officers, a variety of FFA knowledge.
So it's not over yet.
I keep thinking it's over, and then you're like, no, there's still more.
So after you turn in the application and you take that written test, like Morgan had mentioned, you actually go in for it's called an introduction round. So you have to give the nominee committee a 3 to 5 minute speech about yourself. It could be anything about why you want to be an officer or a story that happened in your life. So you give them an introduction speech. And then you actually go through a process of a round robin. So you visit with every member of the nominating committee. After that, you go through an extemporaneous speech round. You have 5 minutes to prepare a 5-minute speech and present that to the nominating committee.
You have no idea what that topic's going to be.
That's right.
So you walk in, they show you the topic. They set you down at a table by yourself. You have one note card and a pencil, and you can write down whatever you may want, or you don't have to write down anything. And then they say, all right, your time's up, and you're up. And it's just one after the other. And you just kind of, you can tell a story based on the topic. Our topic was actually, how do the FFA Alumni Association and Foundation all work together to create Pennsylvania FFA, and how it's worked so well. So that was, it was a hard one. And every year they challenge the members, and it kind of sees who stands out and who really knows a lot about FFA.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And 5 minute, that's the thing. 5 minute like speeches, like it doesn't sound like much, but it's like on the one hand, it is a lot. And on the other hand, when you're trying to keep yourself in that time frame, you're just like, oh no, the time is like already moving ahead. Mm-hmm. It's so weird, like how that happens.
And
so
they'll even cut you off if you go over.
Really?
So they'll say time and you have to stop, and you don't really have a watch or anything to look at, so you just kind of go with it.
I was about to ask that if you had any way of like monitoring it yourself.
No.
Wow.
But it's not over yet. So also after that round, we go into a team round. They'll randomly put you into different teams, and you're given a situation, a scenario. You have to work it out and propose a presentation in front of the nominating committee. And after that round, they have the callback round. So if there's anyone they're not sure of, they're having a hard time place the team, then they'll go into another round of callback. So they'll call a certain amount of groups back, different people they want to hear more about, and then we just wait. And that concludes the process of interviews. So it's a long, long 2 days, but you know, it's definitely worth it.
Yeah. It's crazy because in that callback round, like, for example, I got a callback and Abby didn't. But the callbacks don't necessarily mean anything, obviously. Like, I got a callback and I made the team and Abby didn't, and she still made the team. And it was kind of like half and half with our team. And I actually had the opportunity to serve on the nominating committee before I got elected into state office. The year, like my junior year, I was on the nominating committee. So I've seen both sides of it. And we just kind of take that callback round in order to, if we want to find out anything more about the members that we don't know, or if we're unsure, we didn't think we heard enough. And we don't have to pull back every candidate, or we may only pull back a select group, or we could pull them all back, and we can kind of make that whatever we want. It can be just a question round, or if we want them to do another speech, whatever that is. So it's different every year, so the candidates really can't prepare for that round either.
So that makes me curious then, since you had seen both sides of it, did you find then that during the process, since you knew the other side of it, did you find that that helped you, or did it hinder you at all?
I think it definitely helped me, because I was able to know exactly when they called that round what I was going to walk into. I was going to walk into the members sitting in this, you know, this certain position, or and I knew exactly what I needed to do in order to complete that round and feel good about it. And I just kind of felt like less, I feel like some of the candidates may have been a little more like awkward when they walked in, because they didn't know like how the chairs were going to be sitting, or what the nominating committee exactly wanted from that round. And every year it's different, but I definitely felt more comfortable with the situation I was walking into been previously serving on the nominating committee.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, because I know for some people it depends. Like, and having that knowledge, you know, that give you the heads up on things. So it wasn't quite as just like, okay, I don't know what I'm going into here.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, I've also heard stories of people that knowing sometimes the opposite side, they're just like, oh, this makes it so much harder.
Yeah.
So, okay, that's good.
But it also, like, it helped me to prepare. I think a lot of students also kind of got like really nervous, like, oh, well, this is what this round's titled, but what are they actually going to do? And I knew I wasn't as intimidated because I knew the questions they were asking me. They're asking me for a purpose only. They're asking us for a purpose only. They weren't just going to ask you questions or get you intimidated for no reason. Everything that they were asking and everything they wanted to know about you had a purpose behind it.
Okay. Is there more?
Just very quickly. I was intimidated. I didn't know what to expect walking in there, but it's all right.
It all worked out, too.
Yes, it all worked out. It's fine.
No, just like you were saying, it's the very differences, you know, that set you apart. Yeah. That was partially what makes the group to be as good, you know, as it ends up being. Yeah, because you're not coming from the same background and the same mentality. So, and then at that point, it really is just the waiting game up until, you know, the actual announcement during the convention itself. Okay. Sweet. Well, I mean, we filled up the whole time. They're just doing that. And so, yeah, that was really interesting information there because, I'd never asked those questions before and hadn't asked the process. So that was really fun to learn about that and hear the details. So, well, we're pretty much already done with the program. So, of course, this will be the last time that I see the two of you. I know we were saying that the next program will be Sam doing the transfer for the new group. So
thank you for having us
this
year.
Yeah, thank you so much for everything you've done for us this year. And I enjoy going back on and listening to know what we talk about. And I know that they'll always be on your website, too, so we can go back and look, you know, maybe 5 years down the road.
I probably don't even remember what I said. So
you can always go back on the website and take a look and see what's on there. So, it's been a pleasure having you here.
Thank you.
And I wish both of you the best and for the entire team the best. You know, as you move from this into then your college years or whatever it is that you plan on doing in the future. So
thank you
for listening. This has been Community Issues and Missions. I'm Jeremy Ross. I've been speaking with Morgan Baer, who is the state secretary for this year, as well as Abby Yoder, who is the treasurer. Until next week, have a great several days, and we'll see you next time.
Well, we thank you for listening today. Please pray for these people as they address the issues and mission efforts for all of us. We'll talk to you again next week.